Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to another episode of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Joe Thomas. If you like these podcasts, why not support us and have a lot of fun by buying the new emergency questions book from GoFasterStripe.com. You'll get well over 500 emergency questions to ask in any situation, on dates, at dinner parties, if you're hanging off a ledge with someone else, off a mountain. You can pass the time by asking these questions and getting answers. Questions like... my eyesight's really going. How much is a pint of bull semen? That is one of the questions. You know, that's like how much is a pint of milk? It's just to see if people are... what would it take for you to drink a pint of bull semen? They're not all bull semen based. That's just the two my eye has chanced across. Go to richchang.com/gigs and you can find out if I'm doing a gig near you. I am at the Edinburgh Fringe coming up very soon. And you can also find out all about the future guests on Rehearlester. But let's not think about them. Let's think about our guest today, who is Joe Thomas. Let's listen to him now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who this time has not managed to think of anything to say in that short walk between coming off stage to do the bit before and then coming on. It's Richard Herring! Thank you! They're not doing something became the thing. It's genius. So many levels. Welcome... Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was down at... I was down at a place with some young kids and they were doing the Harlem Shake and they called it Rehearlester, so I don't, that's going to catch on. They were pretty cool guys doing that. Do you remember the Rubik's Snake? Sorry, I'm going into a bit of material that I'm going to do in my new show, so I won't do it. But welcome. Yeah, my news, which you may have heard if you listened to the Wells comedy podcast with Beck Hill, which you should listen to if you haven't listened to, but I'm going to do the same jokes from it now, is that I'm having another piece of sexcrement, another piece of my sexcrement has gained sentience. So in October, when we start the 12th series of this, so I don't know how that will impact... What would you... It's the second kid I'm having, right, in October. I don't need to cancel the... I've seen the first one being born, right? So it was horrific.
I never want to go through. I think for a man to watch his partner give birth, it's the most horrifying and painful experience I think any human being will ever have to go through. So I don't want to... I've done it once. I don't think I have to do it twice. But it's very exciting. It's a boy. It's a boy herring. I'm gunning for the name Booze, which my wife is resisting. Which is a back reference to one of my routines from the past. And he's very prominently a boy. That is what the... very prominently... I don't approve of people looking at my son's genitals and commenting on... I don't think we should be... It's good that it's massive, his genitals, but... It shouldn't matter, should it? So, anyway, let's crack straight on, because that is... Please do buy the Emergency Questions book if you're at home. You can buy it here at the back of the theatre at the end of the show as well. GoFasterStripe.com. That was a little bit of product placement. People can't escape it. It's brilliant. My guest this week... You're much better than last week's audience, by the way. You should have been more impressed with the last week's. He's probably best known, and I didn't work out how to pronounce this, as Peroles in All's Well That Ends Well's 2004 Edinburgh Fringe student production. It's a Shakespeare play. That's probably why you're here. You're probably all here because you saw him as Peroles. He was great. Yeah, the fucking this guy loves it. I used to talk to people in the audience, didn't I? That's what I used to do in that bit. I'd forgotten that. Just have a little camera. Could have filmed. No, I haven't got my camera. I could have filmed you. You're a very handsome man. Did you see the production genuinely?
No.
Okay. When he comes on, let's pretend you did see it, okay? And you're his biggest fan, and you've got pictures of his face all over your wall. He was also in two episodes of Sunday Brunch. I've been in four episodes, so I don't know why you're so impressed. And the more episodes of Sunday Brunch you're on, the better you are. That is the rules. It's not the worse, the more desperate you are, and you're just going on for the food by the fourth one. And because they said there's some free bourbon at the end. I had a really good time. I was terrible on the show, but I had a fucking great time on the last time. We'll talk to him about both of those, please. It's Joe Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. It's Joe Thomas. He's Peroles. Hello, welcome. How you doing? Come in. Lovely to meet you.
Do you want to talk into that? Yeah.
Good, yeah. Just speaking to that might hold it close to your face.
That's right,
which Paul Merton didn't do. He's a professional comedian. Nah. He didn't really bother holding it up.
Yeah.
Should have probably pointed out to him. Peroles?
Yeah, I was trying to remember what that was the other day for just purposes of a conversation with someone.
Yeah.
Which is the... Yeah, and couldn't remember. So
couldn't remember the name of the character.
Made a massive impact on everyone involved.
2004 yeah. Edinburgh Fringe. Did you tour it as well, or was it just at the Edinburgh Fringe?
It was just we did a 6-month tour of the States.
Yeah, wow.
And after that, I became a senator. It was so expensive. I remember doing that play, and I was like, "So what is this like 50p?" And they were like, "I think it's £12 on the weekend."
Right,
like, £12
to see some students.
Who's gonna pay £12? People paid it.
Did they, yeah?
Chumps. It was all right.
Did you have a nice time, 2004 Edinburgh Fringe?
It was actually really great, It was,
Did you come see my show, 2004 Edinburgh Fringe?
I don't know what I did, actually.
The 12 Tasks of Hercules Terrace, I think it was that year. You made a wise decision not going to see it.
Well...
I can tell you weren't there, because I can probably remember the five people who saw that.
Okay, yeah. It's lucky I didn't try and bluff that.
It is.
Yeah.
But
that was a good year, though. Yeah. Good vintage, 04.
Yeah, it was my... I'd had a couple of really good years, and then that was my worst year.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But you were having a fine old time with your £12.
What was it called? Peroles.
Oh, Peroles.
Peroles.
All's Well That Ends Well. I don't know All's Well That Ends Well. How does it end?
I think... genuinely, a character says All's Well That Ends Well.
Right.
That is honestly... I mean, meant to be good, isn't he? That's it. Cough out. Don't just use the title.
I don't like it when they do that. I don't like it in films they do that.
Yeah, I know.
It's all secrets and lies. That's the worst one. Because Secret and Lies is quite a good film, but it's all... Yeah.
Titanic! That's what they're saying. You can't make it out, but that's what they're all screaming.
Yeah.
Titanic!
Alien 3! A third time! Yeah. And fifth, if you count the prequels.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And what did you cook on Sunday brunch? How did you get on Sunday brunch on
did
the two
right.
times you did? Yeah, was it Rimmer and Lovejoy classic lineup? Or
it
did they
was
have
definitely Lovejoy.
Yeah.
On both occasions, I think.
Yeah.
And
they're a double. They're Rimmer. They bought Rimmer.
And Rimmer.
Rimmer. Yeah.
Don't forget
Simon
Rimmer.
Rimmer.
Simon Rimmer.
Simon Rimmer.
Tim Lovejoy.
Yeah.
Presenters of Sunday brunch.
They are.
But, I remember eating 8 insects on one of them.
Did you?
They're horrible, obviously.
I drank some camel's milk on. I had a camel's milk latte.
Yeah.
But the actual bit got cut. They cut the item because it's live.
Right.
And the camel's milk latte was there. And I thought, well, I've got to give it a try.
Yeah.
And so I had it, not even on TV. I just drank it on my own.
It was backstage.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
I like unusual milks, and it was not nice.
Yeah. No, it's a pity, really. But you know, yeah. In a way, there's probably a reason why we don't drink camel's milk.
Yeah.
You know, they've had.
I think it's partly just because there aren't that many camels here in London.
No,
but you know, if there were lots of camels, I think we'd have a crack.
Yeah, I expect so.
And also, with a camel, if you're thirsty, you can just tap into the hump.
You tap into there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's full of lilt or something, I think.
Yeah, sharp straw. I think they're
it's
all right.
Full of Skittles, isn't it? That's, yeah.
Good. Did you enjoy Sunday brunch, do you think?
Always enjoy it.
Yeah.
Honestly, as a fan of the show, I always it's always on.
It's hard to find bad stuff
on,
that you. It's hard
on
to
a
find
Sunday
stuff
morning,
that,
but yeah.
It was hard to find stuff for you that was good enough, bad enough to be you're best remembered for. So that's why I had to go for a student production in Sunday brunch.
There's some bad stuff.
Everything you've done's been good. What's the worst thing you? What should I have introduced you as? What's the worst TV thing?
I've done some bad stuff.
I don't think you have.
I was bad in Winging It, which it was a show. I don't know whether you've seen a show called Impractical Jokers,
yes.
Which is very, very good. And Winging It was a bit like a kind of British version of that, but with people who were bad and didn't want to do it and were scared and underpaid. It didn't work. But that was, I remember them going, we're going to do, it's like a candid camera show, but we kind of want you to deliberately sort of be bad at it, like, and I was because I got sort of slightly Aspergic about it. And I was like, well, what's the point of me doing it? I can't have a good chance of convincing them because they'd give you deliberately stupid things to say. Like,
right.
I had to do a speech about sport where I said, "Welcome to Wembley, home of tennis," or something. And I was like, "Well, they're gonna know." and they were like, "Yeah, we want that. We want to capture the awkward expressions on the faces." And actually, when I watched Impractical Jokers, I was like, "Oh, I see. That's the thing that you can do, and it works." But I didn't understand the concept really of the show I was in, so yeah, that I was bad in that.
Okay.
Although that was not a bad
that's
show.
Not on your IMDb page.
No, is it? It was so it was BBC Three,
was it? Yeah,
but in the days where it was so like youth, BBC Three, they were like, we don't even want it on.
Yeah,
when teenagers have to sort of find it, it raves. We won't even broadcast it because it's
put
too
it on,
uncool.
Let's put it on video and hide the video
exactly,
in a rock.
Yeah.
Someone can find it. So you, I mean, well, let's talk to you about. You grew up in Chelmsford.
Big time.
Yeah. I'd like to ask you some questions about Chelmsford.
Go
what
on.
Are the two tallest buildings in Chelmsford?
Well, I do think I know one of them, Melbourne Tower.
Yeah, Melbourne Tower, Melbourne Flats, as the
Melbourne
locals
Flats,
would call
it. Yeah. So I'm more of a tower man, but yeah.
the other was built in 2007, which might be after your time.
Yeah,
can I have a guess?
I only recognise pre-2002,
yeah.
But
it's the King's Tower on Duke Street. Now,
what is that then?
I don't know.
Sounds great. The King.
Both of these buildings.
The King. I mean, the Queen, surely. 2007.
Both of these buildings are 42.99 metres high. I would say if I was building the King's Tower, I'd have put another centimetre on there, taking up to the, say, hey, I've got the tallest tower in Chelmsford. It's like King's Tower went, we don't want to.
Wait a minute.
Let's not mess around with Melbourne Tower.
Melbourne Tower
They've been there for a while.
Yeah.
You always build higher. You build the next one higher, don't you? You don't get this, or a bit lower. Don't build it the same, and especially not 42.99 metres.
Amazing time to stop.
It's just,
incredible.
Is it there's something in the ground in Chelmsford that means no building could be higher? It's not even that high for a building.
Yeah,
is it?
It's not.
That would you bother putting that on the Wikipedia page? I wouldn't. They're proud of it in Chelmsford. Can you give me two facts about Chelmsford Prison? Come on, you're from Chelmsford. There's one. You know,
it's surprisingly nice.
No, that is exactly wrong. In 2003, it was declared one of the worst jails in the United Kingdom. No, yeah. That is one of the facts I have. Wow. It is also the prison that features in the TV sitcom Porridge. Yeah, the original Porridge.
Oh, it's the original one, yeah.
Yeah, with Norman Stanley Fletcher rather than.
Oh, well, the kid Little from Leech, Muppet then, for Chance of Prison.
Yeah, so they filmed.
Terrible breaches of human rights, but was it Porridge?
There'd been fire or something in the prison, so there was no prisoners there, so that's why they filmed it there. There's your two facts about Chelmsford Prison. I don't really know much of the stuff you've
done. It's good. It's good.
So have you...
So there's two buildings that aren't that tall.
Yeah,
and
there's a prison that isn't that
and
good.
It's a bad prison.
Who are your favourite Chelmsford-based celebrities, excluding yourself?
I think... the artist Grayson Perry
Correct.
Went to my school.
He's the
top one, I think. He's and also the DJ Square Pusher.
Oh really?
So actually, do you know? Yeah, he's yeah. Is he a DJ?
Well, I wouldn't know, mate. I'm 50 years old.
You think a DJ is something you put on when you're getting a knighthood, you old square?
What about Harry Judd, the drummer from McFly?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What about Mike Edmonds?
What about Mike Edmonds?
Who was one of the dwarves in the Time Bandit and played.
That's
John.
Why those buildings aren't tall. I knew it was. That's what it
he
is.
He played Little John in Merry Men. Yeah, he's from Chelmsford.
Okay.
It's going to be mainly about Chelmsford. I was researching you, and then I had a little look at the Chelmsford Wikipedia page.
That's okay.
And I became entranced with Chelmsford.
It's a what? Sorry.
I became entranced with Chelmsford.
It's good. It's nice. It's great.
It's a nice place. Did you have a nice time growing up there?
I had a nice time growing up there. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
That's all I've got on Chelmsford. That's right. Oh, apart from. How did you feel when the Britvic Westway factory closed in 2012?
Gutted. Yeah. No. That is. When did it close?
I think about 2012. The Britvic UK HQ moved to Hemel Hempstead in about 2007.
That must have been
gutting.
Hemel Hempstead gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it was a local employer. It is quite serious. But that is a. Yeah, I didn't even know that. It's not still there. That's sad, that.
It is.
Less thing for my dad to say when he drives me around.
Britvic was the big Chelmsford thing.
Yeah, there was Marconi. There was Marconi, and then that, in the 80s, that kind of went... Oh, I don't know. I think there was still some GEC stuff there, but then...
Yeah.
This is getting a bit dry, isn't it?
It's fascinating. I don't think there's enough podcasts with two comedians from different generations talking about Chelmsford. two comedians who, if I was zapped back to being 33 years old, people would look and go, is that the same bloke?
Yeah.
And that's just their bloke, same bloke interviewing himself, isn't it?
We're basically the same person.
We are. Our parents are all teachers. And we both got a 2-1.
Both sporting a mean 2-1
in history.
That's helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Hence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've been on drunk history.
I wasn't drunk
with your history.
Yeah,
so
that's
you've
true.
Actually
that
used
finally
your
history
degree.
That came in handy.
What were you do? What did you do on drunk history? Were you drunk?
I was not drunk. I was playing Alexander Fleming. The drunk people were Sav and Q from Impractical Jokers. Two mentions now for them.
Okay.
Well done to them. And it was the second time that they were really, you know, if you're doing Alexander Fleming for the second time, that is in a way just do something else. But
there's a lot of history.
Yeah,
you don't need to go back.
Alexander Fleming when he invented a metal detector and he tried to use it to get a bullet out of President Garfield.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and he did get the bullet out, but Garfield still died.
Yeah, because it was fucked up, man.
Because he had tetanus or something by that point.
This came up when they were talking about Donald Trump saying he, you know, it was a witch hunt and he was the worst treated president in the world ever. People brought up Andrew Garfield as an example of a president who had a bit of a worse time than Donald Trump.
Yeah,
but hopefully by the time this goes out. I mean, fuck, I've been hoping for that. I mean, is it wrong to hope for a man to die? I mean, I don't know how you feel here in London today. I mean, this is being broadcast when we've been recorded just after President Trump's been having a go at Sadiq Khan for something he obviously didn't say.
He very cynically took a remark out of context, is what he did.
Yeah.
Sadiq Khan said, you might see armed officers on the streets, so
don't be alarmed
about that. And then Trump said, this guy's saying don't be alarmed.
Yeah.
which was, yeah.
I don't think. Well, do you want him to? Let's take a straw poll. Would the Londoners here? I'm presuming most of you from London. I know one of you's from Canada, so you don't. You're not allowed to join in. would you prefer President Trump not to be allowed to come, or would you prefer him to be allowed to come, and then we can have we can say what we think to his face? If you would prefer him not to come, cheer now. If you'd prefer that he was here, and we could then, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of us, right? If we killed President Trump in a mob attack, do you think America would go to war for it with us, or secretly go, yeah, thanks? Nice. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Anyway, that's a bit of topicality that will be no longer topical by the time this goes out, unless President Trump has been shot and killed. And if he has, I'm not editing it out. I'm not editing it out. I'm glad, and I'm going to go to his son and say, I'm glad you're... to his older son, not the little one. No comedian's got into trouble for saying stuff like that. I don't really like President Trump. So you were, I don't know if you remember, you were in a show called The In-Betweeners.
I was.
Yeah, it was good. Hold that microphone close to your
face.
Yeah. You were once. It was, and a film, and another film. Did anyone go, In-Betweeners 2?
There was a funny thing with In-Betweeners 2, where it was when they were paranoid about people reading the script on email, they used to refer to it as a code name.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's overly paranoid, really. Feels like a rather more innocent age now, in the context of Trump and everything. But that was what we were worried about. But they called it The Last Goodbye on the emails.
Oh, yeah.
And then on my agent's page, it said, Joe Thomas is the star of The In-Betweeners movie, and The In-Betweeners movie 2, : The Last Goodbye. With The In-Betweeners movie, lengthening shadows. Weirdly, sort of poignant and mordant note to strike. But yeah, that's not the subtitle of the In-Betweeners movie.
No, it turned out.
Well, that would have been good, wouldn't it? It would have been nice.
It would have been nice to have it suddenly go very serious and dark, and maybe one of the characters got terminally ill.
Yeah.
And, would have been... and then just no scatology or, you know, showing up girls, just, oh, this is just, quite serious. You know, it's very sad. Simon like Bird's reading... character is dying.
Yeah.
We weren't that nice to him. We should have been nice.
Yeah. We're like...
I'm going to pitch this. Would you come back and do...
I'd do that,
In between us three, if it was that.
Yeah, that sounds...
And it's just right from the start, very serious.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be... I'd love to do that, yeah.
Okay.
I am... Yeah.
Okay, good. But one of your balls would be hanging out all the way through it.
Yeah,
that'd be the only little... That'd be the little nod.
Yeah.
That'd be the nod to the old In Between Us.
Yeah. Bases covered.
then...
That's fine.
But, I mean, you got In Between Us, like, must have been straight away, like, out of university.
Yeah, it was quite weird. Yeah, I got it after a year. And I wasn't really... I genuinely... A terrible role model, because I was quite petulant after university, was annoyed I hadn't done... I was genuinely annoyed I didn't get first.
Yeah.
And then I was just going to be cross with everyone for... And I lived with Simon Bird.
Yeah.
And he used to try and cheer me up, and he'd kind of try and get me out of bed, and I'd be like, oh, I want to get up. And he said, you know, we've got to write stuff, we've got to write a sketch show. And I was like, oh, fuck off, Simon. And then we...
fuck off, Simon, I didn't get a first in history.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what, I didn't do any work at all, and I got a 2-1 like you did.
I was annoyed that you couldn't just...
So I was just like, what? Fuck?
It was a broad church, the 2-1. I spoke to people who'd got 2-2s, and there were people who'd not turned up, people who'd, like... It was. I felt like I should have been more punished. I was actually annoyed that I hadn't been...
Yeah. You're just not that clever, mate.
That's right.
You're not that good at history. Yeah, that's not the worst.
That's true. Drunk history, yes.
Yeah.
But, It was basically because Simon made us write an Edinburgh show, and then we got an audition from that.
Right.
And at every juncture, I think I was trying to be like, I don't want to do it. And then, I don't know, we were very, like, we didn't... I think because the guys who write The In-Betweeners, Ian and Damon, are very funny and really nice and lovely, but, like, they do just seem like a couple of chumps, really. Like, we met them, And we were like, well, they're nice.
Thanks for all the money, guys.
But when we first met them, we were like, well, obviously they're lovely and we really like, you know, drinking with them, but they're not going to do anything. And then they'd written this script and we were like, well, yeah, I mean, all right. And when, so Simon and I both got off at the par and I rang Simon up at his parents' house because we just live with our parents. And I said, I've been offered a part in this thing. And I said, and he said, yeah, me too. And I was like, are you going to do it then? And he was like, I don't know. That was literally, I mean, I don't know who we thought we were.
Yeah.
We were such little. We were such little shits, really. We were literally like, we thought we were clever and, you know, well, I don't want to slag someone off, but like, you know, I think we were kind of into doing this kind of Cambridge-y, like, surreal sort of stuff, a bit like kind of Big Train, or like where there was always like it was naturalistic but also surreal, and like they, their thing was just funny. We're like, oh, that's not very clever. And it turns out you can be clever but wear it lightly and charmingly rather than just sort of pushing it down everyone's throat.
Being really
surreal.
I mean, in a sense, it's, you know, it's great for the first thing you do to take off, be a massive hit.
Yeah.
But also, in a way, it can be a negative thing as well. But I completely understand because you come out, you've done, you know, comedy in the safe environments of university. You've got your own thing together, and you sort of want to write your own sketch.
Yeah, we wanted to do our own stuff, and I think we were a bit annoyed that they were better, and then we were in it, and we really wanted to be writers. And we were like, oh, now we sort of can't be writers because we've got to be in the in-betweeners. And then I think, no, gratitude. Basically, I cannot overstate the lack of gratitude.
But you still have.
We don't want the job, it's boring. We don't want to do it. We won't want to learn our lines. We will participate with the minimum effort. And I think the thing is, I didn't think it was that simple, that actually, like, Ian and them were very funny, and I thought there must be some other trick where it was like, well, yeah, they're funny in real life. Yes, they always make us laugh. But it can't just be that means that they can write a good show. And actually, basically, that is the fundamentally most important thing.
Yes.
About you, there is no such thing as a funny show that's written by somebody who is not funny in real life. Like, that is doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And obviously, there is more to it than just, you know, than them being funny. But it was weird how much we overlooked that as a factor in whether the show would be good or not.
I don't know because I was going to say this, but I don't think this is true because it was obviously very popular amongst young people. But I think there's an element with the in-betweeners. It's written by slightly older people.
Yeah,
I think did they write it originally about themselves, about like the 1980s?
They wrote it about the 80s. Yeah,
and then it kind of got updated.
And then it got semi-updated. Yeah.
I think they chucked a few of those
DS lights into the set and they were like, there you go. The Millennium. Why do they never go on the internet? So the internet is not a big part of young people's lives, as far as I understand it. So it was right that it plays absolutely no part in that show, apart from the one time they go on, like, N Messenger or something, or, I don't know, NS Mem or something.
So, but I think, like, you know, as being a bit older, looking back at it, kind of, it's a funny show to remember your school days, which you were practically just out of school when you did it, really.
Yeah, I think that they needed that time, because I was still very serious about my... Like, you need to be able to look back and say, you know, maybe my band wasn't up there with Radiohead. You know, maybe they were a bit more important.
Yeah.
I think I was still quite po-faced. Well, I tell you, I was cross about not getting a first, so that's a man without a sense of humour about his life. They had both an excellent memory and also the honesty to write about it in a funny way. And it's that is the valuable part of their kind of characters, really. It's like, that's the fact that there must have been a temptation at every stage to be like, let's make it a little bit sort of better, let's make the lives of the people in it a little bit better, a bit more exciting. And it was always like,
you know, it was just them at their parents' houses, not really doing anything. And, you know, I think those were the moments where I loved the show most, really, was where it was just like, this is so suburban, there's just nothing happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the discipline of doing that, I think, is you know, a big part of the reason that is well written.
Yeah, and it's about those guys who are, you know, who are they're in between in every sense, aren't they? It's a nice idea. They're the nerdy, uncool guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're the coolest of, your character's the coolest of those four
guys.
He was
supposed to be a lot cooler.
Right. And then,
they just genuinely acknowledge, like, you didn't do the character that we wanted you to do. Like, at the end of the first series, Damon sent me a card saying Simon was, thanks for making Simon so funny and so weird. And I think he literally said, yeah, he was a lot weirder than we thought he was going to be, which in a way you should get sacked for, I think, if you're an actor. You can't just not be able to get rid of stuff from, you know, your performance. But tolerance was shown to me for some reason. But yeah, it was... I think when it started, I was meant to be a bit like, there's two writers, and then one of them's called Ian and one of them's called Damon, and I think the Will is meant to be more like Ian. Ian's a little bit posher. You know Ian.
I know.
Yeah, he did go to private school, I think, and then I don't know whether he left or whatever. Like, in he's the one who's the pretentious one. And then the Simon character is meant to be more like Damon, who's very kind of streetwise in a way, I think.
Right.
And actually what they got was like just two little nerds. And in a way I was, if anything, a bit weirder than Simon, who plays Will. I mean, again, the names, I don't know why, just make all the names either the same or different. Don't kind of do half names that are our own names. But poorly planned, the whole thing. Shambles. But I think Simon definitely delivered, you know, the kind of Ian...
Yeah,
sort of the young Ian. I don't know what I delivered, but they had no choice by that point. So yeah,
well, your latest thing's also written by Damon.
Yeah, White Gold. Yeah. So that actually is set in the '80s. So basically, in the end, they've just reverted back to writing about the '80s. That's more about when Damon was a kid, and White Gold is about double glazing salesman. And Damon's dad was a double glazing salesman.
Yeah.
And it was the kind of the golden age of like Essex Man, basically.
Was Damon's dad like the bloke in the...
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's quite a fairly spicy character. Yeah.
I don't make the mistake I made. I've only watched two episodes of this so far, but the first episode I went on iPlayer and looked it up and then watched an episode thinking it was the first episode, but it was the final episode. I thought, this is bold. See that? This is... Like, mate, they're not sugar-coating this. They're not baby-feeding this. Yeah. You've got to really keep on your toes with this. Maybe do it. It was kind of exciting to watch the sixth one first. But then I watched the first one and went, that makes more sense now. Establishing who they are and what they do and what the relationships are. But that's partly about being old, I think. It's unusual they put all six of them on iPlayer all at once, right?
It is.
Before it's all gone out.
Yeah, I can't work out whether it's good or bad. Really.
Well, it's bad if people watch the sixth one first.
It is, yeah. I mean,
right, if everyone does what I did. You know, and then watch the first one and go, well, this seems to have taken a backward step. They're treating us like babies now. I just got into it.
Are they numbered? Or is it just...
They're
just in a circle. You just scroll
take your pick.
Any of them.
Good luck.
They're all different lengths. One of them's 1 minute long. One of them's 8 hours long. That is said, some of them aren't in the '80s. I mean, iPlayers. Yeah, no, they're all up. So
yeah, you know. You get to kiss a lady in the one ice, the sixth one.
Yeah,
anyway.
I do.
Don't want to ruin it.
A bit of a smooching. Yeah, that's in my contract.
Yeah,
minimum
nice.
One smooch. It's not. Yeah. Smoochie, smoochie.
So
I don't know how to round out this.
James Buckley's in that as well. So you've got two of the in-betweeners in that one.
Two, yeah.
Yeah.
Two out of four.
Yeah.
Too many? Don't know. It's hard to know.
But do you feel that... Do you think... I mean, I understand why you're both very good in it. You both write for it. But is that kind of, is it difficult to escape that
in-betweeners? It's quite bold,
thing?
Putting two in. I mean, I think it's definitely... He's obviously embracing, you know, the idea that it's okay to have that kind of almost like a gang of actors who carry on. I think it happens in comedy. I think it's all right. I mean, in the end, you know, I wasn't going to go, oh, I think you should only have James.
you could have gone, you should only have me.
You should only have me. That would have been...
I would not do this if James Buckley's in it.
That would have been a properly Hollywood move, wouldn't it? That would have been good. It's the kind of thing I should do.
Is it hard to escape that? I mean, that's the only problem with having like a massive success first. It's nice you get famous, you get to be in movies and have a lovely time.
Yeah.
But then everything is compared back to that first
thing. I mean, the thing is, obviously, it's massively much better to have had something that's good. It's much more a blessing than a curse. I suppose it is inevitable that you get compared to it. But then, in a way, all the most things that I find most irritating about reviews, where it's like, oh, it's like the in-betweeners, but in the 80s, that is exactly how I would describe a show to somebody that I knew. I would say, oh, basically, I would be reductionist and say it's basically so that people get the idea. It's just so that people can be I'm with you. I understand what that show is. So I think actors get really sensitive about being typecast.
Yeah.
And kind of doing, not being able to kind of shed a certain character. But first of all, I really don't have any sort of delusions of sort of Daniel Day-Lewis grandeur in terms of, like, I don't think I can do millions of different things. And I think a friend of mine said, like, people would tend to be funny in one way. I mean, if you have a friend who's funny, normally you know what you're going to get with them, and like that's why you like them, and that's why you're funny. And if they started doing a different sort of funny where their timing was different, and I mean, there are things, you know, if you have a kind of comic timing within the way you speak, it's really hard to try and unpick that and then come up with a different sort of comic timing that's also funny but different. And I suppose I always think it's kind of the lesser of two evils to just try and be funny. Because obviously in the show also, like, I'm sort of the nice one, and then James is kind of this loudmouth. And I guess if we'd wanted to be really kind of bold about it, I could have done the kind of wide boy, and then James could have done this sort of slightly sweet, kind of bumbling, hapless, is the key word where I'm concerned.
And then people going, why aren't you like, you're in the in-betweeners?
Yeah, be like that. Yeah, so I mean, it's
be really, like the same.
That's it. So,
I don't think they're very similar. I don't think it's a very similar. I mean, you know, it's. I don't think it's that similar.
I think we played to our strengths, but I think they're. Hopefully, they're different. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I've only seen episode 6 and episode 1 in the wrong order, so it's hard for me to judge.
Yeah, they're a lot more enigmatic, these characters, aren't they? They refer to things that haven't happened yet. And
episode 6, you're snogging some woman. Episode 1, cold shoulder, doesn't even acknowledge her.
Doesn't
what
even
kind
know
of guy
my name.
Is this guy?
Yeah.
Doesn't even meet up with her.
Yeah. That's it. I get younger. It's
slightly younger. But you have, you've been working constantly in lots of different other things as well.
Yeah, mainly, yeah.
And you write stuff on you. Did you write an episode of White Gold as well?
I wrote an episode of White Gold.
And you wrote Chickens.
I wrote a thing called Chickens that did sort of moderately badly. But I wrote a thing about conscientious objectors in World War One.
How many in between us were in that one?
Only two.
Only two. That's fine. That's the number.
Bit of a less than two. Less than two is the key number to hit. Just like, you know, other actors don't go around in little couples. Where I have to have my mate, otherwise I won't do it. He gives me a lift, so he has to come as well. One at a time. It's a one at a time sort of business, really, isn't it? There's no actors who have people along with them. But yeah, I'll be writing about. To be honest, I really, really liked doing that. And I think, again, that was me and Simon Bird being a bit naive and thinking, we can just go back as if the in-between has never happened, and if we just left university and just write something as if no one knows who we are, but still sort of slightly benefiting from the fact that we might only get the show because people do know who we are. So there was all sorts of kind of doublethink involved. And then, as you know, we were annoyed where it was people say, oh, the in-betweeners are in it. In a way, that was a minor. You know, I actually really liked doing that show. I'd like to do more with, you know. That was Simon and Johnny Sweet, who was the other.
So you did a double act with Johnny, did you?
I was in a double act with Johnny first, and then I started doing stuff with Simon. And then I honestly think I would call it like a love triangle. Like, it was like, it was just like, three's a bad number, yeah. really, because there's always...
You all shared a flat together when you were in London?
We all shared a flat, yeah. I'd occasionally have hissy fits because they didn't ever take care of the flat, they didn't do any washing up.
Yeah.
I would get a bit... I'd occasionally kind of say they didn't appreciate me in terms of the work I did around the flat.
Yeah.
I thought they didn't even notice the work I was doing.
Yeah.
And
you made spaghetti quite a lot and they...
I made spaghetti bolognese six nights a week.
Yeah.
And then on the seventh night a week, we had carbonara.
Yeah.
And it was great. They were happy times. I love that flat. I bloody love that flat. They're all living with their wives now.
No. you're all grown up.
We've all grown up, haven't
you
we?
Have,
we're sort of one of the. You could identify it as a sort of theme of life. Can't you? You get older, and then you remember when you're younger.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, it was a bit simpler back then.
Did you like working with Greg Davis, who is a friend of mine and has been very funny on this podcast?
Yeah, Greg's brilliant. He's a really, really nice guy. He was always... When I first started, I used to do a radio show with Ian and Damon, who write The Inbetweeners, and Greg would always just end up doing everything. Like, the radio show was a total shambles. It was on something called Channel 4 Radio, which doesn't exist anymore, because shows, including the one that we were on, lost money. And it was written by Ian and Damon, and me and Simon Bird used to do a little... skit every week, and we got paid £25 each.
Nice.
Which I was like, that's pretty good. And we got to go to the pub afterwards with the guests, which was nice. And
did you have to use your £25 to buy drinks?
Yeah, absolutely. Travel home, travel and drink. Back home, no money. Greg was on that, and he'd always do everything. He had to warm up the crowd. He read all the little monologues in between. He was always filling in the sketches. And he was a teacher, Greg, and I think there was something of that willingness of just willing to kind of do the heavy lifting. He was always doing everything. He was constantly being called on to do stuff. And I just thought he was a really nice guy because he gave so much of his time. I imagine he was also badly paid. I don't know where this money went. I mean, I don't know. They say we lost money. I mean, I'd love to know where that money was going. But it was... maybe it... Yeah. I mean... We didn't sell many tickets for it. But it's that was our first year, Greg. And he was still a bit like a teacher, because he used to be a teacher. He was a head of department, I think. And he was very good with... I think classroom teaching is a bit like stand-up, in a way. I think stand-up's a bit easier, to be honest. I think classroom teaching is just really, really hard. And I honestly think he started doing stand-up because it was moderately more pleasant than having to teach kind of GCSE English or something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you get told to fuck off more
in a GCSE English class. Well, there's things you can't do that you can do to an adult audience.
That is true.
Lots of different ways at school, so...
Bloody law, isn't
it? Yeah. Like, tell them to fuck off is what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But you can't do that either, mate. But you can't do that... at all. Doesn't matter if you
basically can't do anything.
You can't do anything. I'll ask you an emergency question because I've got this new book of emergency questions out.
Yep.
So
I was enjoying it. I was perusing it in the dressing room.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. I hope you haven't seen any of the questions I'm going to ask you. What does mansplaining mean?
That's when a man... It's when a woman says something and then a man behaves as though she hasn't said it at all. And then he just says it again, but as though what he's saying is, you won't have understood that because a woman said it. So I'll say it so you can that understand it.
That is the correct
That's
definition.
What mansplaining is.
I thought it was going to go be a bit sexist for a second, did you? And then he turned it around, didn't he?
Yeah. But I didn't. I sort of didn't really know that was a word, but I sort of instinctively know what that means. Okay. So
you did very well then. Have you ever seen a starling?
Is this also about gender?
No, there's a bird. The bird. The starling. Have you ever knowingly seen a starling?
They're rare, aren't they? These days.
I don't know.
Are they not?
I don't know. I just thought it'd be an interesting question to ask. We'd find out if you're the kind of person who knows what a starling looks like.
I know what they look
like and has identified it.
They're speckled.
So have you seen one?
I've seen one.
Just answer the question.
I've seen one, mate.
It's So answer the question. I'm like Jeremy Paxman.
Yeah.
Just answer the question.
I didn't knowingly see a starling.
Right. Would you rather be lactose intolerant or the Prime Minister of the Central African Republic?
Was that sort of put to him? In a sort of pull yourself together moment. Are you going to let this lactose intolerance get in the way? Or would you rather go out there and be the president? Now, go and drink the ceremonial milk and sign yourself into office. Yeah, I mean, they're both obviously a big ask, aren't they?
They are.
I'd rather be president.
Would you?
There's no real power involved in being lactose intolerant, is there?
I think you could still drink milk, but it just would react badly to it, so you could still have the pleasure of enjoying...
Both require a responsible attitude. You've got to concentrate both times.
Is there a race of people who you secretly believe should be exterminated in death camps? This is a clever way of catching any racist guests. Let's see how he answers. If he answers yes, he's racist. He's really racist.
God, who would I like to see the back of?
Hemel
Hempsteadians.
I mean, I'm saying you don't have to answer it, but just say no. That's what you have to, the fact that he's not just saying no. No, I won't ask that one. Do you think Toy Story 2 could ever happen in real life?
Well, that did happen, didn't it? That was a documentary. I'm sure, you know, it's a matter of time, isn't it?
It's Toy Story 3 when they're falling into the...
Toy Story 2 out of interest? So Toy Story 1, we know that's impossible.
That's ridiculous. But Toy Story 2, where Kelsey Grammer's in it as the bad guy. Yeah, is that 3? What happens in 2? Jesse the Cowgirl. Jesse the Cowgirl. Kelsey Grammer's in it as the bad guy. Stinky Pete. Fuck you. Don't come here telling me. And it's the one where they go, hey, we're in Toy Story 2. That's what happens. The glass goodbye. I don't think it could, because I don't think toys can come to life. If they did come to life, the possibility of them being those specific toys altogether is just ridiculous, I think. So I don't think that could happen.
You know.
Have you ever irked a postman? Because I really irked a postman this week. Have you ever?
I've hardly even ever seen a postman.
Right.
Unlike starlings, which I've, you know, ten a penny. But
I played a postman.
Mail.
Someone, when I was talking about it on Twitter, someone should have said, you should have told the guy that you played a postman in Time, Gentlemen, Please. I should have said, sorry, mate, I understand your job, because I played an occasional postman on a sitcom from 2001.
You don't really know what it's like, though. How dare you presume to understand what it's really like?
I can't understand. We came out of it all right. He was angry with me, but
why did you work him?
Because I filled a postbox with loads of these books.
Oh, I have actually. I have irked a postman because I tried to put a package into a letterbox.
Yeah,
and he said it's called a letterbox, not a postbox.
Right.
Weird. So, which is like, so what he was saying is if you got a package, you should take it to a post office and put it in that vat of other packages.
But was part of his problem with me. But I also didn't just put one in, I put about 50 in each, and in every single postbox within about half a mile radius of my house.
I've never seen one. I filled
every single postbox up.
And I've never seen one full, though. I mean, I've never seen...
Well, I filled it up, and then people were ringing up saying, I can't put letters in the postbox. I thought
in the letterbox.
I think it's a postbox. I'd say that is definitely semantic because I think it is a postbox.
Whatever he said to me, postbox is a word. That's just a fact. It's a good solid.
And there's
word.
Nothing. I said to him, there's nothing on the letterbox or postbox that says you can't fill up with post. He said it's obvious. It's inconsiderate. That's what gets me. And then he said you shouldn't put things like this in because they'll get ripped up. And then he sort of threatened me, saying he was going to rip some of them up.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get your emergency question book, yeah, that is why.
God, weird mixture of, you know, condescension and...
Well, he was
threat.
Nice, wasn't he? In the end, he was nice. And I took his point, and I did make a grave error, based on the fact that I thought postboxes were emptied 3 or 4 times a day.
You know Postman Pat?
Yeah.
Does Jess have a role in that?
Fuck yeah.
No, but what I mean is post-wise.
Well, she...
She licked the...
I have watched Post...
Envelopes or anything? Or...
I watch Postman Pat a lot. It's called Special Delivery Service now. And
no role for Jess.
Jess... No. I mean, she's no official role. She doesn't get paid, but she definitely sorts out most of the problems. Postman Pat is...
She probably does a lot behind the scenes.
Postman Pat is the most... I mean, it's a hilarious show, and I'm sure deliberately he's the most incompetent postman ever. And at the end of every episode, he goes, special delivery, mission accomplished. And you go, after you fucked everything up, lost every single piece of post and arrived late, didn't accomplish the mission, and then just made an igloo out of plastic boxes instead of ice, that's not... You can't go, sorry, all the ice melted, but I'll make you an igloo out of plastic. No, I paid for the fucking ice to me. Where's my fucking ice, Postman Pat? At least say sorry. Don't go, mission accomplished. It hasn't. And Jess is, in that show, the only one... Sometimes she goes. So she'll go. Don't leave the door open. Don't leave the door of the van open again. Things can escape. Animals will escape.
He's less qualified than a cat he works with. That's the great.
He is. He's terrible. And he's got.
He's a terrible.
About 1,000 different vehicles. Yeah. And he delivers. He's got a plane, and he delivers to a village in Wales, as far as I can see, or the Lake District or something.
Yeah.
And every time he rings up, he goes, "Hey Pat, I've got a bit of an unusual one for you today." You know, you say that every fucking time. It's always unusual.
That's it.
Is it just a letter?
That's it.
Because that would be unusual. And then he goes, the bloke in the department goes, "How soon can you be here?" And Pat says, "I'm on my way." And I go, that doesn't fucking answer the question. How soon can you get here? Not, are you coming? I don't know where you are.
It's true,
How far away are you? Admittedly, every time you come to the department, the post depot, you get here straight away. But every time you try to get across the village, it takes half an hour.
That's it. It's,
I know. I've got some Postman Pat stuff.
I should have.
I watch Postman Pat every morning with my daughter.
I'm
allowed to watch it. It's great.
Oh yeah, and it's the old episodes. Isn't it? They haven't made new.
Well, I think they showed from different times. I don't know how the special delivery services, the more recent ones.
Yeah,
I mean, Postman Pat was on when, it's big probably time. Started. Any idea, David, for when Postman Pat began the original series? I want to say when I was a kid. I watched the original series, but I was probably 19. Bing's on as well, but my daughter likes Bing best. Bing. Bing, yeah, you won't have seen Bing.
Sure about Bing. What's
Bing? It's a sort of black rabbit child whose guardian is a stuffed toy who is much smaller than him, played by Mark Rylance, the Shakespearean actor. It's a very... I'm not sure I might have just addressed... You get, when you've got kids, you wake up so early in the morning that you start to think, I think half the things I think I've seen, I haven't actually...
Yeah.
That doesn't sound real, does it? It's like a giant rabbit that's about this tall, looked after by a... Like a
Were
toy.
You in it? That's how we'll know.
Don't think I am in it. Pando I don't like. Pando is the one that annoys me the most.
Yeah.
He's annoying. But it's Bing is pretty stupid.
Yes. It's
anyway, any fans of Bing?
Mind-boggling.
All the parents at home asleep because it's late. What are we talking about? What's the answer to that question?
A break, pause if you want.
Yeah, no, so we can have a little rest.
5-minute pause?
It's not really
a thing that happens.
we can pause and then we can edit the pause out. And It's straight. People at home don't know there were that pause. Look, people are leaving. They're so upset.
They're not going to know. Yeah.
It was because I had a go at Bing. That's the thing. They said they've gone to check where Mark Rylance is. Mark Rylance. Have you ever worked with Mark Rylance?
Fabulous. Weirdly,
actor.
The Bing and In Betweeners didn't.
oil the wheels of my passage into...
But he's in Bing, man. He could he's in Bing. Fucking well, no, Bing. He could be anything, can't he? How did they get Mark Rylance in Bing? What have they got Bing. On him?
Yeah.
Bing.
It is good. Quite it is good, though, to be fair.
Yeah. Bing's really stupid.
Yeah.
And Flop, I think he's called Mark Rylance. Yeah. Yeah. He always warns Bing about what he shouldn't do, and Bing does it anyway, and then Flop is proven to be correct every time. He's a wise, whatever he is, raggedy thing.
I thought that Mark Rylance has got quite an authoritative voice as well, so you would listen to...
You would, not
you
Bing.
Would, you'd not Bing's Bing,
a,
no.
Bing is a fucking cunt, mate. I'll tell you that right now. My wife genuinely hates Bing. I quite like Bing.
He sounds like a bit of a dick.
He's a dick. He's a dick. I mean, no, he's a three-year-old. You've got to make concessions for them. I'll ask you one of my... There's some emergency questions I just wrote. This is my favourite emergency question. I don't think you'll even understand what this means because you're too young. What is your favourite track by the performing artist Joe Dolce?
Yeah, it's hard. Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
You know? I can't not be able to derive it from First Principles, am I?
No.
Just like, you don't. It's not, you can't just...
Well, his name, Joe Dolce, implies
Joe's
he's
my
Italian.
That's as far as I've got.
That. You might get it from that.
Favorite. Oh, no, is it the... is it the...
It's not helpful.
No, it's better than... It's something.
It is something.
It's something to go on.
It is. He did Shut Up Your Face.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I would have...
The joke there is that... That's the only one.
Okay. Saying, what's your favourite?
Yeah. Getting a bit late in the evening. If you could teleport anywhere in the universe right now, where would you go? You have 5 seconds to decide. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Chad.
Good.
Just getting a bit worried about time there. That's somewhere short.
Who do you think deserves a statue of themselves who hasn't got a statue of themselves currently?
Good question.
Lots of people. That man down there just said good question.
Good question. Tons of people.
Yeah, who?
Alan Turing?
Alan Turing?
Has he got one? Okay.
What I should point out is that everyone in the audience invited to here tonight knows... They all know... A different section of what's
they all know set, different statues.
Yeah,
okay.
So they've all been invited for their statue knowledge, and every statue is covered. So if you choose one where there is one, a man will go. There is one of Alan Turing.
All right. Philip Nidderdale.
we had three people for that.
He's got. He's actually over celebrated, Philip. Trump.
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's, like, carries a statue of himself wherever he goes.
Yeah.
In his pants, yeah. It's his penis. It's his penis.
His.
Yeah. If you were going to be in a human centipede... Yeah, I've got to go back to some of the old classics. You're in the middle. Who were the other two people you'd like at either end? Do you know what a human centipede is?
Yeah, I do know what it is. Joe? I mean, it would go two of the other in between us, and I imagine that would be... depending on when this goes out. That's just the third film.
Yeah. Would you be... it'd be the post would be the three of you and the human centipede, and the fourth one going, why wasn't I in it?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Storyboard.
Yeah, it's that, but yeah, okay. With, you know, banter. Yeah. That's cool. The.
Who's that lady who came in and nudged you and then went out again? I'm extremely intrigued. Oh, it's a lady from the theatre. Yeah. You wish, mate. Bit weird. Don't put your feet on the stage, mate. All right. It's got to that point in the evening. Oh, it is an interesting question.
Why have you got two... I don't understand...
this is my new. These are my new ones. That these are actually exclusive. Oh, okay. Some of the, my favourite are the exclusive ones that I only gave to one person.
I just thought you didn't know about printing.
Would like,
you?
I don't want to just give away all the ones in the book because then people won't want to buy the book.
I understand.
Would you rather your anus was replaced by a cat's anus or your pubic hair was replaced by cat's whiskers?
Both be an upgrade, to be honest.
I think the cat's anus would make your poo come out like cat poo. I think that has to be part of it.
No one needs to know about that necessarily.
The pubic hair. I think the whiskers might be useful because they would, if you were naked
they'd allow,
and you were going into a small space, you would know whether you would fit into the space. Based on the whiskers.
That's a good point. It's worth knowing.
It is.
Well, we'll go with that one then.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, a cat's anus would be a horrible thing to have. With pubic hair of whiskers. I mean, the problem with the pubic hair with whiskers, I think, I've thought about this.
Well, they're both
a little
got
bit.
Problems. I mean,
they are.
But yeah.
Well, whiskers are quite, you know, sharp. I suppose not sharp, but then they're not. I mean, they wouldn't be pleasant riding against you
directly out as well. And they always stick. Just in. Yeah.
I mean, if they stick out forward, if they stick out in all directions, that's going to be a problem.
It's
it'd be like having sex with someone with spaghetti stuck to them, like dried spaghetti. But Pat, it would bend. I mean, it'd be like I don't know what for spaghetti. What it'd be like is having sex with someone with some whiskers attached.
Yeah,
I don't know why I turned into spaghetti. What it'd be exactly like?
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, that's
you having fun on the podcast so far?
No, loving it. Yeah, no,
I mean, we can. Stop in a bit. No. That lady says no, so we have to carry on. I asked that one backstage, so I'm not going to ask that again. What are your 9 favourite things about Norway? I can wait until all 9 of them have been...
You know, the 9-strong troop of Norwegian... you know, the
It seems like you don't like Norway very much. That's what I'm getting.
Norway is wonderful. Let me tell you. Well, you know the four letters in Oslo. That's 4.
Okay.
And then 5 of the letters in the word Norway.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, no one's going to accuse me of not knowing about Norway.
3 of those are O's.
Okay, we'll get rid of the O's.
Or 2 if one of the O's is in Norway.
You can't have an O. And, oh, there you go. Oslo. Way Oslo.
I had one other question for you based on your work. Are you fed up of people asking you if you're like the characters in your shows in real life?
Because
everything you've been asked in every interview. The characters you play in Fresh Meat like the character you are in
real
life?
I've tried to hone my answers as I go along, because I'm genuinely interested in the answer. But what's becoming is the answers just get longer. So instead of like having a I should have a down pat answer.
Yeah.
But instead of that, I'm like, oh yeah, you've got me thinking. And then my answer gets longer and longer and longer. And feel like this, really.
Yeah.
But, it's fine. I don't mind. They can ask. You know, it's something that I would... Again, it's something that I would ask if I was asking somebody a question.
Are you like the characters in real life in your thing?
I am quite...
Which of your characters are you most like in real life that you are in the character in real life?
There was
that
a good bit when, until the most recent show I did, every character I'd ever played was a virgin. That's a true fact. One of which I'd written myself. and I think they're all a bit, they're all in education. I did in between years I'm at school, then Fresh Meat is university.
Yeah.
The thing I wrote was a teacher.
Yeah.
So they are, the lack of breadth is staggering in that sense. But, probably the one in Fresh Meat, I think. He's, like, pretty similar.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Haven't really seen that.
Yeah.
I can't really comment.
It's exactly the same.
Okay.
It's,
seen a bit of it. It looks good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
It's all right. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Just there's a lot of telly, isn't there?
It's good, yeah.
You're new, and, like, there's always, like, 2 in-betweeners in everything. There's only one in-between in that,
There's
right?
only one in that. That's why you haven't watched it, because you only need two. Two minimum. There you go.
Yeah, good. I think might be time to go home. Were you at school with Harry Judd from McFly? He's about the same age as you.
No, I don't know. I never saw Hyde nor... What is that phrase?
Hair.
Hair.
Yeah.
It's easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't see him, didn't see Perry.
No.
Didn't see Squarepusher. Didn't see that tower going up.
Did you see the...
Didn't see the dwarf.
Did you see Mike Edmonds? Didn't see... seen Mike Edmonds around. He must have been a local character.
I think you're winding me up. I haven't...
Not Mike Edmonds. I know his name because it's the same name as my nephew, Mike Edmonds. And he is...
Well, that's no good to me. I mean, that's not...
But that's why I know his name.
Yeah.
But if he was walking around, I'd be going, hey, fuck, it's the guy from the Time Bandits. I wouldn't be like going,
but
there's the small guy.
If I'd seen him, I would have been going absolutely mental. But yeah. I did not...
Okay.
Yeah. None of these.
Okay.
It was a wasteland.
Okay, we're going to go for one more emergency question, and then we're going to let these kind people go home. It's been fun, though, right?
It's been lovely.
Do you feel like you're talking to a much older version of yourself?
I do. It's nice, though. I feel very safe.
I'm a warning from the future. Be careful what choices you make in your 30s.
It's nice. It's very reassuring. It's like,
would you still like to be doing comedy when you're 49 years old?
Yes. Okay. I definitely would.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it feels like a long way away, isn't it? It's not, mate.
No, it's
just round the corner. You're going to walk off the stage and go, what? Ah! It's going to be like the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. This is where you're going to walk off. Ah!
I look in the mirror and it'll just be your face.
Be your friend. Ah!
Yeah. That'll be all right. It's fine. It's not. It's
all right.
As I say, genuinely, it's nice. It feels safe and warm.
No, it is nice. It's quite warm.
It certainly feels warm.
It's warm up here.
Yeah, it's pretty warm.
I'm warm, mate. I'm wearing a jumper. For those of you listening to the podcast.
Richard speaking from right to left as you watch.
I want to find a good one. What is your favourite archaic word or phrase? You must be good at this because you did history.
I like fell.
Fell?
Yeah, as in the adjective fell.
Okay.
Smote.
Yeah.
Smote's
good.
I like the old-fashioned uses of current words like yet. Though I am old, yet I am strong and lusty.
Okay.
You know, there you go. So that doesn't sound rings wrong. And it sort of means still. It's how we use the word still.
Yeah.
And I once spent ages thinking about use of the word but. You know, like but for this.
Yeah, okay.
But that we could have... That seems to be used just all over the place.
Yeah.
It's like a blank in Scrabble. You can put it anywhere in a sentence, and it seems to change. And I was convinced that it was being used. I didn't get involved in the end, but in ways that where it seemed like they were using it to mean opposite meanings. Sometimes it seemed to mean everything except this, and then other times it seemed to mean that actually it is only this one thing. So anyway, if somebody could pick up my research, I've got
man. You went really hard at university. I feel so bad at you. You really deserved a first, man. I tell you, I can't.
A lot of people were saying that.
Yeah. My favourite one is in the Middle Ages. They used to call a skirt a fuck sail. Couldn't do that now, could you? The political correct. Couldn't do it. You wouldn't be allowed. Wouldn't be allowed to say it. No one would let you say. That's why I love it. Katie Hopkins going, no one, you're not allowed to say all the stuff that I constantly say.
Yeah.
And no one stops me saying.
Yeah.
You're not allowed, apart from when libel gets involved. That's the only time you can shut the fucker up.
Yes. Yeah, no, you can actually say almost literally anything.
You can.
And nothing happens.
Yeah. On here you can.
Thank God.
So far. okay. Well, let's... I'll ask you this question. I think this is a good one to end on. This is question 148, if you're following with your book at home. In the future, I kind of hope this will be like a hymn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please turn. I'll be like a God figure.
Yeah.
And people will go, please turn. And people will sing. This will be sung to by monks. Please turn to 148 of the pronounce. Imagine if there's a nuclear waste and this is the only thing that survives. People think you can only attain true wisdom once you've answered all of these questions.
Would you care to sing it in a sort of plain song?
Good, I'll give it a go. Would you rather be immune from ever getting chlamydia or have free Kit Kats for life? And to clarify, because I know some people will be asking, you would get 365 four-finger Kit Kats per year, 366 on a leap year, but would still be able to get chlamydia. That is the downside. But if you chose not to get chlamydia, you'd be immune from chlamydia.
Stay the same and have some Kit Kats.
Yeah. Well, if you are confident that you and your partner will never have sex with anyone else, then you could have free Kit Kats for life.
I'm pretty. I think I'll run the risk of chlamydia. Yeah. And even if I get chlamydia, am I really going to be bothered? Because I'll just be inside my Kit Kat house.
But the more Kit Kats you have, the less likely you are to have sex with someone.
Yeah,
it's been my experience.
It's win-win. They're very clever. These religious texts have lots of layers, don't they? They're not to be taken literally. That's the thing. They're not really Kit Kats.
Chlamydia's not that bad.
Chlamydia's not real either. No. Bye.
Kit Kats are pretty nice as well. Anyway, look, it's been... Do you think it's cheating having sex with a robot? Just as a little sidebar.
Oh, my God. I think...
Because you're engaged now, right?
I'm engaged now, yeah. To a human.
Yeah, okay. As far as you know. They're getting very sophisticated.
Very convincing.
Yeah.
Totally convincing. Is it cheating? I don't know. It's interesting. I think you should have sex with humans. I think that robots don't... Are they going to like it? If the robot likes it, maybe. It's interesting area.
Can the robot
feel sad? Can the robot feel melancholy?
I don't care about that.
No.
For me, that's the bonus of having sex with a robot. It doesn't matter.
You shouldn't. If the robot is actually like a human and can feel...
The opposite of that. We've gone to very philosophical. If the robot can feel,
if the robot
it's
can
cheating.
Feel pain,
if the robot is just an inanimate object that can animate a couple of areas. I don't need much.
I think sex with humans for now.
Yeah,
and then we'll revisit it.
Yeah,
2045 or something. We'll get back.
It'll be too late for me, isn't it?
Well, you'll be all right. They're all sorts now. just what that sounded.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a big round of applause for this week's guest, Joe Thomas, ladies and gentlemen.
Cheers.
Very nice young man. What a lovely young man. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Joe Thomas. The music is played by the band Pest. They play it live every week. They're very nice. Thank you to everyone at Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you to everyone at Go Fuck the Stripe. Thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide. Thank you very much to my producer, Ben Walker. And this has been a Go Faster Stripe, Sky Potato, and Fuzz Production. Check out some of our other Fuzz Productions podcasts, like Do the Right Thing and Pappy's Flat Share Slam Down. And probably some other rubbish stuff like that isn't as good as that. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this week's podcast. Do go and check out the Emergency Questions book. It's a lot of fun. If you go to eBay, I'm often selling lots of little extra bonus stuff and rarities. My handle on there is herring1967. Go to richherring.com and you can find out all about the gigs that are coming up. Do come down to the Leicester Square Theatre if you can to see some future episodes. We've got Andrew Collings coming up soon. That's going to be exciting. David Baddiel. All sorts of it. Skinner and Baddiel are going to be on. It's going to be Dan Skinner and David Baddiel, but that's still good. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.